Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. We've just finished up the Doc Talk out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania with Greg Roscoe. And now we get into Sports Talk Saturdays live from Oakland, California. Bruce Kessinger, yours truly, Mark Mancini here. And then we'll go at the top of the hour with James Donaldson out of Seattle. Washington State assistant basketball coach Mark Edwards will be part of that one. So stay tuned and loading up on your Saturdays. 347-205-9631. Show goes by quick. Catch the archive on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to. Powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. First of all, Bruce, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? Third of all, looks like he's going to be a regular here. Scott Morgenroth is back.
Woo! Well, Mark, I'm looking downfield for an open receiver right now, and I can be reached at holyroller91978@gmail.com, and Facebook, I am on as well.
Okay, Scott, welcome back, and how can people reach you, my friend?
Hi, Mark, Bruce, glad to be back. I really enjoy you guys. Looking forward to doing it as often as you want to have me on. I guarantee you I'll be anything but boring. I've been dealing lately with some infection issues, had a lot of pain medication. My wife came to get some assist for today because she got me up plenty, a little Diet Mountain Dew. We're ready to have a lot of fun with you guys today. But anyways, to get to your other question here, how do you get a hold of me? Well, folks, I own the South Florida Tribune online publication with a broadcasting division, www.southfloridatribune.com. Gets it done on Twitter, @TribuneSouth. That's the @TribuneSouth. And when you go to our website, you'll find all the different broadcasts that we have, in addition to some of the quality content from our affiliates, our contributors, and so forth, including Mancini Sports now as they drop down as well. And you know, let me let the cat out of the bag a little bit. Coming up on April 29th, Fired Up Florida debut with Mark Mancini and Scott the Motor City Mad Mouth. That's all you need to know. So mainly the website and Twitter @TribuneSouth. So there you have it. And also we have a YouTube channel. Please subscribe to the South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. So South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. We would appreciate anybody that can subscribe. I guarantee you, you won't be disappointed with the content that this 42-year journalist puts out there.
Great. Bruce, I know last week we were talking about the Parker issue. You wanted to bring it up with Scott. I'll let you start that one up. And there's a load of other topics, including the death of Dwayne Haskins this morning in South Florida.
Well, yeah. Last week, of course, we were talking about the Tyreek Hill thing trade, which, of course, led to the Devontae Parker, who when we last spoke, was a Dolphin, and he is not now. He has been traded, surprisingly, to a division rival, the New England Patriots. Your take on that there, Scott?
Well, let me give you the details of the trade, Mark and Bruce. First of all, the Dolphins are sending Parker and a 2022 fifth-round pick to New England for a third-round pick in 2023. Let's talk about Parker's contract in 2022. It's valued at $5.65 million for your base, $500,000 in-game roster bonus, and then you take the contract out to 2023, tack on, it'll be $5.75 million base, and then the same $500,000 in-game roster bonus kicks in as well. So again, I want to just point out that the Dolphins are sending Parker and a 2022 fifth round pick to New England for a third round pick in 2023. All right, getting back to what you talked about, Bruce, okay? They're trading in the division, so they get to see him twice a year. Evidently, it doesn't seem to faze Bill Belichick one bit. We'll see whether or not the Dolphins will be affected by it, you know, we all talk about how stacked that the Dolphins are at the wide receiver position. Bill Belichick will trade with anybody. He doesn't really frankly care. And evidently the Dolphins, to me, don't appear to have a problem with it either. You know, you get a third round pick next year in 2023, more power to you, as long as you cash in on those picks and turn them into something. So we've seen a lot of good second day picks come out of it. So you never know where that hidden gem will come from. So
okay.
That's the disc. Go that three. Take it from there.
Wow, great.
Right, well,
picks across the board. Bruce, does that answer your question?
Very succinctly, as a matter of fact. And well, let's move on to the next thing. What do we got, what else do we have going on here? Well, of course, we do have that Giants-Marlins opening day game, which was wild, to say the least. And my prediction about our bullpen being super was anything but right. I do like Jazz Chisholm. I don't know why he's hitting ninth. And what else can I say? A bit of sloppy play all the way around, too, on both sides. Your real quick take on it, Scott.
Well, yeah, I do cover the Miami Marlins. It's one of the people, and I'm very close to that organization. I enjoy working with Don Mattingly. Jazz Chisholm, to me, is a heck of a ball player. He's a really big kept secret because he is here in Miami. He doesn't get a lot of publicity. The team hasn't been that good. But I'll tell you one thing, though. You know, Jazz's charisma. You know, he's an exceptional speed guy, and he hits a fair amount of home runs. So, you know what, folks? Jazz Chisholm is a guy you should pay attention to. I think he could be very good, and you never know. You might see him in an all-star game. So that was definitely an interesting ball game. Again, the only thing I often wonder about extra innings is the ghost runner rule, you know, and all that, which I'm not crazy about it, but, you know, hey, listen, you know, whether the play is sloppy or not, you're talking about opening day. You make a trade with opening day. You know what that is? Is number one, you get your attendance figures for opening day are great, okay? By the same token, there's a little bit of rustiness. And then this year you have the shortened spring training, Bruce and Mark. So as a result, you had a lot of working against you. And, of course, now you have the universal designated hitter permanently. So you have the extra hitter compared to other years. So, you know, 2022 is going to be a year that there's going to be a fair amount of adjustments, both, you know, especially at the beginning because of the shortened spring training. And let me go ahead and add something to it. I had a chance to talk to Andy Alcantara, the Marlins starting pitcher, last weekend. And, you know, he went in there very, very, you know, ready and in shape. You know, so, and he was ready yesterday. I think he went like 4 or 5 innings yesterday. So it's going to take a little while for a lot of guys to get going. But you know what? You start, you know, you took, because of the lockout, you know, a lot of guys to get that 162-game season in had to make some concessions, and the teams adjusted well. But to complete my thought on Jazz Chisholm, Mark, and Bruce, this guy here is a heck of a player, and you're going to hear more about him.
You know,
indeed,
Scott.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Bruce. Real fast, you know, when you look at this Miami Marlins organization, and we're going to get into the Dwayne Haskins thing here this morning, tragedy in South Florida, but Juan Fernandez was a standout down there, and you cover the Marlins and all that. Did the Juan Fernandez death set this organization back a few years? I know they made the playoffs. They had the nice run in 2020 coming out of nowhere and getting beat by Atlanta. But when you look at the whole, I look at organizations. When you look at Drew Brees leaving the Chargers, that organization was set back a lot of years. When you saw Harbaugh leaving Stanford, that organization was left behind for a few years. As far as, you know, the 49ers, till they got going. And now you look at Juan Fernandez's death in the boating accident in Florida. Yeah, they made the playoffs and everything, but is there a dark cloud hanging over the Miami Marlins organization after that death, you think?
No, I really don't. There's no question that the death certainly was very tragic, I think. But, you know, again, there's an organization that's, you know, built from within. You know, yeah, it certainly was a tragedy when they lost Jose Fernandez on September 25th, 2016, because of that accident. You know, and it did take a toll on the area and the players over it. There's no question when you lose a guy like this who's a cornerstone of your franchise, you're going to feel it. But, you know, we're talking 2022 right now. You know, we're still talking about an organization, whether people want to realize it or not, okay, that has won two world championships. You know, you just find them buried a little bit with all the losing seasons. The 2020 season, albeit 60 games, energized the area a bit. But I don't think it, to me, holds a cloud over the organization. It's not like they did anything wrong. It was just an unfortunate tragedy. It really, really was. And, you know, again, we're talking about the fact that the man died, okay, in 2016, and here we are in 2022.
Right.
So, yeah,
Bruce,
yeah.
Any comment?
Well, those I agree with you. I don't think that Jose Fernandez's death is the cloud over the organization. I also thought Alcantara looked pretty good at the start of the game, and then, of course, he had an error help him lose. Well, he didn't lose the game, but, you know, it didn't help his cause, so to speak. And then after he gave up that home run to Joey Bart, which I was very impressed with, by the way, nice a debut right there after Buster Posey's retirement. He seemed to come unglued. He threw like eight straight balls. So that, and just to make a comparison here, he's young. And the one thing that I hope isn't going to be go wrong with the Giants, and you've seen it a lot with relief pitchers who've blown a big game, is that Camilo Duvall does not develop. Because I thought last year in the Dodger game when Kapler left him in, that should have been, they should have probably brought in Jake McGee, who is a seasoned veteran, to face a left-handed hitter. But they left Duvall in because he does have lights-out stuff. But, of course, he gave up a winning run, and we didn't win the series. And I've seen relievers in the past who've been in big games. Schiraldi, I think, comes to mind. It's like one big game blown, and they blow all their confidence. And he got knocked around by the Marlins yesterday. So, you know, young pitcher psyches are fragile, but I do like Alcantara. I think he's a good pitcher.
Yeah, let me go over about Fernandez's situation for just a quick moment, and I want to talk about Sandy because I've got a lot of worthwhile things that everybody should know. First of all, when you look at Fernandez, okay, the guy passed away at the age of 24. His MLB stats at the time were 38-17 when he passed away, with a 2.58 earned run average and 589 strikeouts, let alone the fact that he was a two-time All-Star and 13-16 in National League Rookie of the Year in 2013. So nobody can sit here and tell you it didn't hurt. You know, he was off to a heck of a start. So, you know, and again, he still would be like, you know, he was born on July. So I'd say he'd probably be 31 years of age by now. So, yeah, it was unfortunate. Now, let me go back to Sandy Alcantara. The thing that people need to know about Sandy is this, okay? He is an innings eater is what he is, okay? He did sign a contract extension during the offseason, so obviously they feel that he's a very big part of what they do. I think the thing that's important for the Marlins is they need to identify their core players, and when they identify their core players, what generally will happen is you need to lock them up for a long time. And that's what they have to do. Sandy Alcantara has good stuff. He's a heck of a pitcher. And I tell you what, as long as he can be consistent, more importantly, the one thing that we're all overlooking here is the fact that the Marlins have to give this guy some run support. I don't see any bat in that lineup that scares the daylights out of me. I really don't. You have a lot of steady guys that can contribute, put runs on the board. Jesus Aguilar is always a threat. They brought in Avisel Garcia, Miguel Rojas, Jazz Chisholm, you know, just to name a few guys that are smart plugs. But, you know, the Marlins need to score runs. You can only have so much good pitching, but at some point, the old philosophy in baseball is put bat on ball and let it go someplace, okay? Don't strike out or it goes into the catcher's net. You follow me? So, you know, again, watch out for Sandy Alcantara. I really like this guy. And, you know, we have a lot of other good pitchers like Pablo Lopez, and the list goes on and on. So, you know, so watch out for Sandy. You know, he has some pretty good players on this ball club. I just hope that they are able to put it together for 162 games.
Well, here's the thing, Scott. you know, when you look at it, you know, I don't think the sports gods were too kindly to you right off the bat. You more or less open up on the West Coast, and you get the Giants, and then you go to the Angels, come back home, and I don't want to say it's a death march, but you get the Phillies and Cardinals coming in. So you're not getting to rule teams here. I know it's a long season. You can't win a World Series in the first 17 games, but you can sure get buried pretty quick in the first 17 games. When you look at this schedule, it's probably one of the toughest in baseball to open up a stretch here. I know you'll probably be at the Phillies and Cardinals covering them, but you kind of probably wish maybe you got the Reds and, you know, Pirates or Cubs in that thing, but you get the Phillies and Cardinals, two teams that are on top of the divisions here. What's your thought on that? Then I'll give it to Bruce.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, after you comment on that, I'll pass it over to him.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you. All right, well, number one, you're right. You could get buried early in the schedule and find yourself out before you end up going there. So, you know, do I like it? I don't, you know what, I really don't care. I mean, if we're as good as we are or adequate as we are, then you would hope you can win four or five, six games out of that stretch. You know, so, again, you take it one game at a time, and you hope when you get to the major leagues that your talent's good enough that you don't even think about those things. Now, the positive side is you get the Giants out of the way earlier, and it's one less West Coast team you don't have to worry about as the season goes on. Yeah, you know, the Cardinals figure to be all right, you know, and the Phillies are going to be good. But to me, I don't really – I wouldn't put a whole lot of stock in it right now. It doesn't bother me. If we can come away with 3 to 5 wins in that stretch, then I'd be fine with it. I really would. So, but I've seen you're right, though. Your philosophy is right. A lot of teams get off to slow start, find themselves in trouble, then it becomes a confidence thing. But I'm not worried about it in this particular case.
Yeah. Bruce?
Yeah. We'll go with them. I guess we'll go to the Giants. I kind of like their chances even against the Padres and the Dodgers. The one thing, and we, you know, we're talking that designated hitter thing. One of the great tools or the great maneuvering that happened with the Giants last year was Gabe Kapler's use of the pinch hitter. That was no longer there. It was pointed out during the game by a Giants announcer, Mike Kruko, right before Stallings hit the home run, that if the next batter were the pitcher, there would have been an intentional walk. And it's like, oh yeah, you know, it was just another reminder. And of course, like I said, you know, I'm against the DH and the NL. But there's a lot of good players still there. They still have depth. They ain't going to win 107 games, but Logan Webb, another great start. I'm looking forward to seeing how Rodon looks today. It's a solid pitching staff. Like I say, though, I didn't like what the relievers did yesterday. And back at you.
All right, well, let me add something to this whole thing. You know, do you realize that the managerial matchup, Bruce and Mark, in this series consists of two guys that actually played in the American League, Don Mattingly with the Yankees for a lot of years, and Gabe Kapler, obviously, you know, played for the Detroit Tigers from 1998 to 99, and he's been around the American League. So you got two guys that played in a league that has a designated hitter. So they may find the designated hitter as a luxury more so than anything else. And Don Mattingly mentioned that to me when we talked about the universal designated hitter. Yeah, I've already played in the league, so he knows what to do. And, you know, Gabe Kapler, to me, is a pretty shrewd guy as well. I've never met Gabe, but everything I've heard about him is nothing but positive as well. So, yeah, I don't think that's as big of a deal. Bruce, I'm with you all the way. I personally like when the pitcher hit, because you're talking about helping your own cause, but the reality of the situation is this universal designator wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when, and now we already have the when.
Yeah. I might be repeating myself, but it's sort of hypocritical in a way when they're talking about trying to keep the games shorter. They had been bellowing about that for the last couple of years. I think a pitcher making an out shortens the game a lot. And there was, you know, if you get the bean players, so to speak, with a hard fastball, you should be able to go to the plate and get face that same music if you're going to do that kind of thing. that's all really. And I kind of like some of those legendary pinch hitters that, you know, everybody in the audience out there would go, ooh, ah, he's coming up. Watch out. Like Gates Brown or somebody like that.
I can't believe you brought up Gates Brown. Yeah. I cannot believe you did, because he's the first guy that came to mind. Hey, listen, Bruce, one thing I like about working with you here on the show is you got two guys our age that can talk about guys like Gates Brown, okay? You are so right when you talk about legendary pinch hitters and things like that. And if you think that you're going to go out there and solve the pace of the game, I'll give you some good advice, Mark and Bruce. You know what that is? Call Albert Einstein. Maybe he might give you ways to do it. Because I don't care whether you have Bowie Kuhn, Rob Manfred, Bud Selig. Nobody's getting to get this pace of the game thing right, no matter what they think they're going to try to do with pitch clock
right.
And all that. I don't buy it. I'm not going to buy it. I've been around the game way too long anyways. No way. But I cannot believe, Bruce, you mentioned Gates Brown, because there were some great, great legendary pinch hitters that just don't get mentioned, except on this incredible broadcast that we're doing, that the two of us can really relate.
And I'll throw Mark Mancini a bone. You remember the name Al Luplo?
Yes.
Okay, just
yeah,
thought I'd throw it out there. We're talking about old school pinch hitters. He was with the Pirates. yeah, well, tell me more about the Dwayne Haskins thing, because this is my first knowledge about it.
Well, I heard it. You're in South Florida, Scott. You want to start it, and I'll tell you how I heard it.
Oh, actually, I just heard it breaking news across my wire, so I don't have a lot of information on it. I can just say that he was in South Florida, from what I understand. Training is what he was doing, and it was just unfortunate that he was killed. I mean, here's a guy that was vying to make the Steelers again. And, you know, it's just one of those deals where, to me, you know, it's just tragic. I think a lot of people are stuck by the news of what happened. And what can I tell you? I mean, you know, the kid, to me, found himself in the right situation with the Steelers, where he could have developed and all that. It's, to me, what else is there to say when a young man loses his life due to something very, very unfortunate? There's no words that can actually be, you don't have enough words in the English language to describe a tragedy at a young age. You really can't. I'm looking at the details now that he was actually struck by a car just weeks after signing a new contract. Steelers were confirmed. But here, the quarterback was killed Saturday morning in Boca Raton in Southern Palm Beach. It's actually in my backyard, where the team is training, is what it was. So Boca Raton, right in my backyard. And what can I tell you? This can happen to anybody. But this kid, to me, you know, you never know. You know, he had a really legitimate chance to make the team. According to Adam Schefter, he said that at the time of his death, Haskins had been training with some of the team's quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers. So this happens during the offseason. Again, we talked about Jose Fernandez tragedy, although you can't compare this one to the boating accident. But what you can compare with the two is there are two kids that are in their early 20s that died way too soon. And Boca Raton is 5 minutes away from me, 7 minutes away.
You know, I want to comment on that if I can, and then I'll give it over to Bruce with about less than 6 minutes left in this great show. I think about these things, and I say to myself, street smart skills come in. I know when your time is up, your time's up. But, you know, I think more people get killed by a car by just thinking maybe the light is green and then just walk and realizing people are running lights. I don't know what the situation was in Florida, but you see more and more people getting killed by just stepping off that curb thinking, okay, it's green. Nobody's going to run a light, and then 2-3 people run the light, and boom, it comes, you know, flying. And you got to look both ways, be well aware of your surroundings, but what a tragedy at 24. And, yeah, it's unbelievable. The poor kid was troubled ever since he left Ohio State, the tumultuous seasons in Washington, tried to find a home in Pittsburgh. I don't know, Bruce, any thoughts to this and any thoughts of, you know, getting killed. I mean, you just got to just be well aware of everything, I guess. But when your ticket's up, ticket's up. There's not going to be.
I see a lot of people blow lights every day here. And yeah, you don't just automatically step off the curb. And I automatically don't go through the intersection when the light turns green. I look both ways and wait 4 seconds. The thing that's also kind of tragic here is because of the quarterback situation in Pittsburgh, because I don't think Trubisky's really an answer. If he was working really hard on his game, he might have had a chance to start there. And that's also tragic. So that's my take on it.
Well, what's even more tragic is the death comes just weeks before his birthday on May 3rd, which would have made him 25. Yeah, I don't know. I need to see more about the Trubisky thing, and I think the Steelers are going to draft a quarterback anyway. But, yeah, it does happen. And, you know, it's funny how you talk about red lights. Years ago, a Triple A truck ran a red light, and I ended up being the victim in that thing, and I had to be taken out by the wheels of,
Oh, man.
It caused me some injury issues for sure. You know, so you have to be conscious of those red lights for sure. I could talk hours and hours on this, and who knows, maybe at some point I will. But getting back to the kid, it is unfortunate that Dwayne died shortly before his birthday, let alone unfortunate period. Just like you alluded to, Mark, okay, that, you know, he didn't get it figured out in Washington, but, you know, he had an opportunity to work with Mike Tomlin. Everybody knows if you can't make it with Mike Tomlin, you got issues. There's some major problems. Because Mike Tomlin is unquestionably one of the best coaches in the NFL, if not the best, aside from Belichick's success. Who in the world, right mind, would want to play for Mike Tomlin? This was a chance for Dwayne to really go out there and stay in the lineup. And that's why he went down to Boca to try to get better. The guy is trying to get better and have a legitimate NFL career, but unfortunately we'll never see the ending to this one.
Yeah. As we wind this show down, Bruce, what can we look for next week in the successful Sports Talk Saturday live from Oakland, California? And how can people get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me at holyroller91978@gmail.com. I am also on Facebook.
Yeah, maybe next week by this time, this story might have legs to it. LeBron wants to go to Oakland, tired of Los Angeles, and want to play with Steph Curry. How many times have we heard this story in more ways than one, Scott?
It's so dismissible.
It will never happen. Good luck. Good luck.
Yeah, LeBron gets tired of cities and starts throwing everybody under the bus. The real problem here in Los Angeles, it's not Frank Vogel and Russell Westbrook. It's Jeannie Buss and LeBron James that have orchestrated this deal, and that's why the Lakers, with that big payroll, 160-something million, sitting on the sidelines while the playoffs start. Scott, what are we going to be discussing with you this week? A lot of things you'll be doing. And how can people get a hold of you?
Well, again, go to the website, www.southfloridatribune.com. You'll be able to find all the broadcasts that we have. I got Inside the Pigskin. We have 108 Stitches Baseball Talk and a Sports Exchange. And follow me on social media at Tribune South as well. And I'll have more details as I put these shows together. So, you know, in fact, on one of our shows, we did something on de facto general managers, and LeBron James is definitely one of the people that we referenced to. So de facto general managers slash players slash general manager. You guys really spread that one real well, man. I swear to God. And again, I enjoy coming on the Oakland show. I'm starting to enjoy the camaraderie that we have together, and look forward to whenever the situation presents itself and you, whether we make it permanent or occasional, that's really up to you guys. I enjoy coming out with you guys. It's a lot of fun. But, you know, we have a lot of things that we work on, the Sports Exchange, Inside the Pigskin, which is devoted to football, and we also have 108 Stitches Baseball Talk. Shows are being created right now, but we try to stay consistent week in and week out. More importantly, Fire Up Florida. Well, that's right there as well in the coming weeks, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah, and probably next week we'll find out if there's more victims of Deshaun Watson. Might get up to 40. Maybe they'll give him $400 million contract. Who knows? But I don't know what the hell the Cleveland Clowns are thinking. I don't call them the Cleveland Browns. I call them the Cleveland Clowns. And until they rectify that situation, they'll be the clowns in my book. Four.
Well,
Bruce Kessinger out there in Oakland. Scott Morgenroth in sunny South Florida. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. We'll see you next week, same time, same channel. Have a blessed one, guys, and thanks for tuning in.